The word this morning is going to be a short word this morning, but it's something that the Lord is really speaking to me on a very personal level. And I don't need to make it a long word. It'll just become wordy and lose its impact. So I just want to share with you what's really alive in my heart. You know, in my personal devotions, the Lord has been stirring my heart, challenging my heart, and renewing my desire to live a consecrated life to Him. He has shown me areas in my life that I have let slip and places where I need to raise the bar again. Some convictions that He's put in my heart, I need to raise the bar again. And at the same time, He's just been renewing my hunger to set my life apart to Him and be used for His purposes in the earth. And that's really something that I want to speak to us about. I want to talk to you about Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle. What in the world does that have anything to do with what you're talking about? Well, I'll show you. The Lord can speak to me in strange ways. But I know when it's His voice, and that's what I want to talk about. I got two passages of Scripture I want to go to. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 30. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 30. We're going to begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read one verse, and that's verse 13. Paul, writing to the saints, says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth." And here's the part I'm really emphasizing. "The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word of God that powerfully worketh in you that believe. Go with me to Genesis chapter 30, starting with verse 36. Verse 36 says, "And Laban set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made all the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked, and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's." Let's pray. Lord, Father, the truths that you've been speaking to my heart, Lord, I pray that they would just be an inner witness in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, that this doesn't come from the mind of man or the opinions of man, but this is truly something birthed by the Spirit of God. This is truly your word to our hearts this morning. God, I pray when the message becomes challenging, I pray that our eyes wouldn't stray from that, that we wouldn't begin to think, well, this is just the opinions of a man, but we would continue to hear the voice of our Father. Lord, I love you with all my heart. We love you with all of our hearts. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just begin by saying that I don't really want to talk about Jacob this morning. What I want to talk about is the spiritual principle and the spiritual truth that we read in our text. In our text this morning, we read that Jacob has been working with his uncle Laban for many years, and now there's a desire in his heart to go back to Canaan land. But Laban doesn't want to let Jacob go because Jacob has brought the blessing of God to Laban's house. So Laban comes to Jacob and he says to Jacob, if you will stay and continue to work for me, I'll give you wages. Whatever wages that you want, I'll pay wages. So Jacob agrees and he says, this is the wages that I want. I want to walk through your flocks and all the sheep that are streaked, all the sheep that are spotted, I want them to be my sheep. That will be my wages. So Laban agrees. And then later, Jacob devises a plan that I really believe was by the mind of God. God's trying to teach Jacob, you don't have to walk in conniving ways to get what you want. If you'll just walk with the mind of the Lord, you'll know the blessing of the Lord. So I really believe it was by the mind of the Lord. And Jacob devises this plan. He cuts rods out of tree branches, and then he carves spots and he carves streaks into the tree branches, and he places these tree branches in front of the watering trough. So when the sheep come and see these branches with the streaks and the spots, what happens is when they begin to conceive, when they begin to breed, the lambs that they have will be spotted lambs, streaked lambs, and these will become Jacob's possession. That's the plan that he devises. When you read further in the story, you see that Laban is continually trying to swindle Jacob. So I believe this is a plan that God is blessing because he is providing for Jacob. And the indication is when the sheep looked at these carved rods, they would then birth lambs with spots and streaks and therefore become Jacob's property. Now here's the truth that I want us to see in this. There is a spiritual truth here that we need to see in this that applies to our lives, and that's simply this. Just as Jacob kept the spotted rods before the eyes of the sheep, and therefore the sheep produced spotted lambs, as Christians, whatever we keep before the eyes of our heart is what we're going to produce. Whatever we keep before our hearts is what we are going to produce. Now capture that. The spotted lambs are looking, the lambs are looking at these spotted rods, and that is what they're producing. And as a Christian, what we keep before the eyes of our heart is what we're going to produce. And beloved, the Bible really validates this. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. That when we keep the word of God before our hearts, the truth of that word is sanctifying our hearts. In other words, when we keep the word of God before our hearts, the word of God has the power to conform the nature of Christ in us, the character of Christ in us. You see, reading the Bible is not like reading Tom Sawyer. The Bible has power to produce the things that you read in your life and in your heart. If you're reading scriptures about the love of God, the Bible has the power to produce the love of God in your heart. If you're reading scriptures about humility, the Word of God has the power to produce humility in the heart. That going all the way back to the very beginning, you see it going all the way back to the very beginning. The Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Beloved, when the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, what was the Spirit of God doing? The Spirit of God was anticipating the Word of God coming forth. Because the Spirit of God moves upon the Word of God, and He creates and He transforms. And any time when you have a life in this Word, the Holy Spirit hovers over the heart with an anticipation. As you are reading this word, His anticipation is this. The very things that God is speaking to your heart out of the word, I'm going to create in you. Even if it takes a creative miracle, I'm going to create in you. The Bible says, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, says, the word of God which effectually works in you. Beloved, when it comes to our Christian walk, there are two things God is so desirous to do in our hearts. Two things. I mean, He is passionate about it. And the first thing is, God wants His people to continually grow in their relationship with Him. He wants His people to continually grow in their intimacy with Him. Peter puts it this way, growing in the knowledge of God, the intimate knowledge of God. And secondly, God passionately wants to conform us to the image of Christ. And when we have a life in this word has the power to effectually work those things in our lives. Beloved, what you keep before the eyes of your heart is what's going to be produced in our life. And that's why I love and I also encourage, have a life in the Word of God. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God in the life. Now I want you to look with me at verse 41 and 42. Go with me to Genesis chapter 30. And look with me at verse 41 and 42. It says, and it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Now, to put this simply, when the stronger cattle begin to mate, that's when Jacob put the spotted rod before their eyes, so strong cattle would be bred. But when the weaker cattle bred, Jacob didn't set the rods out because he didn't want feeble cattle. He didn't want weak cattle. Now, capture this. This morning, not man, but the Holy Spirit is talking to us about our spiritual man. The Lord is talking to us about our spiritual man. So the question I have to ask myself when I look at this is simply this. What are the things that will strengthen our spiritual man? And what are the things that will weaken our spiritual man? What are the things we should be putting in? And what are the things we should be keeping out? Beloved, our spiritual man is like our physical man. We have to be very careful what we feed our spiritual man if our spiritual man is going to be strong and if our spiritual man is going to be healthy. Amen. You have to see it that way. Listen, you cannot feed this spiritual man with fleshly things and become strong in spirit. We can't participate with darkness and feed our spiritual man on dark things and expect to become strong in spirit, healthy in spirit. Amen. Can I get amen there? Are y'all alive? Now, what I'm about to say is going to be blunt and it's going to be bold. But I'm going to say it in love and I'm going to say it in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved, Christians are so tolerant today about what they feed into their spiritual man. And let's take movies for example. Beloved, so many Christians are in the habit of going and watching worldly movies, watching things that God is clearly in disagreement with, watching things that are clearly not of the light. Let me tell you something. Listen, if we are in the habit of continually watching worldly movies and movies that God is not in agreement with, please hear me. It will have a great impact upon your spiritual man. And it will have a great impact upon your anointing. Amen. Hear me. Amen. If we want to have a strong anointing upon our lives, and we want our lives to be impactful, We have to separate from darkness. If you hear anything, this is what I want you to hear this morning. Every Christian that wants to be useful, every Christian that wants to be impactful for the Lord, has to make a decision. And the decision is this: what is more important, anointing and impact in ministry, or entertaining my flesh? Every Christian that wants their life to be impactful for the kingdom has to make that decision. What is more important to me? Being anointed and my life being impactful, or entertaining my flesh? And beloved, listen to me. This morning, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about loving God with a sincere heart and separating yourself to Him so your life can be impactful in the earth. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. There's one thing on my heart before we change directions, and it's what I call the Samson syndrome. Would you go with me this morning to Judges chapter 16? Judges chapter 16. Look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "And Delilah made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said," now listen to what he says, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. So in these two scriptures, let's answer this question. What was Samson's mistake? Here's his mistake. He took his anointing for granted. He took it for granted. "Oh, I'll just get up as I did, like I did all the other times before, and go out and in the anointing of God defeat my enemies. It doesn't matter I've been laying with harlots. It doesn't matter that I've been flirting with my vows of consecration and separation to the Lord. It doesn't matter that I've been doing that. Just like all the other times before, I'll get up and I'll be anointed and I will defeat the enemies of the Lord." He took his anointing for granted. And beloved, I believe with all my heart, many believers make the same mistake. We flirt and entertain ourselves with worldly things, with things that are clearly not of the light, with things that are clearly God is in disagreement with. And we think, we have this mindset, "God will anoint me anyway. When I teach Sunday school, God will anoint me. When I lead worship, God will anoint me. When I preach, God will anoint me. When I work with the youth, God will anoint me." But I truly believe there comes a day the anointing begins to fade from the life. Our gifts and our talents may still shine. My singing may still have the ability to stir people, and my preaching may have the ability to move people. But I'm telling you, gifts and talents aren't the anointing. And somewhere in the midst of it, I believe with all my heart, the anointing begins to fade and the touch of God begins to lift. Beloved, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that if God is going to use my life in an impactful way, I must separate from darkness. Not out of religion, but because I love the Lord and I want to be impactful. Amen. So, I begin the message by saying that the Lord has shown me places in my life that I have let slip, and I need to raise the bar again. And here's the question I want to end with. What causes godly convictions and standards in our lives to slip? What causes them to slip? You know, many Christians start out with godly convictions and standards in their heart that God Himself planted. Didn't come out of their own mind. God Himself planted it in the heart. And yet somewhere in the walk with God, the convictions that God Himself planted and the standards that God Himself planted begin to slip. And the question is, why do they begin to slip? Well, there's a few things that we can talk about. But here is the one the Holy Spirit placed on my heart. Familiarity. Familiarity. In other words, the daily routine of ministry, the daily routine of family life, the daily routine of church life, we can become so familiar with these things and we can lose sight of the supernatural in our calling. We can lose sight that my calling is a supernatural calling, whatever it is. And God wants to do supernatural things. In the daily routine of my ministry, God wants to do supernatural things. In the daily routine of my family life, God wants to do supernatural things. You know, we can lose sight of that in the daily routine. And forget, it's a very supernatural calling. I can forget as a pastor. Others can forget as a witness on their job. Others can forget as a called to be stay-at-home parent, raising their children in the Lord. We can forget that whatever calling we have, it is a supernatural calling. And God wants to do supernatural things. And we can just get so stuck in the routine of it all and begin to let the things that God has put in our hearts begin to slip. Because we lost sight of a supernatural walk. Just become familiar. You know, I've been teaching at Summit almost 20 years. And if I'm not careful, it can just become something that's a yearly routine. And I can so easily forget when I step in that classroom. I'm in that classroom for one reason. God wants to do something supernatural. And when I lose sight of that, standards and convictions in my heart will begin to slip. But thank the Lord, He can speak to me. Say, Tim, I'm not calling you to be religious. I'm calling you to be intimate. And you need to raise the bar again in certain places in your life. Now I want to end with one passage of Scripture. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. We want to end with this. Psalm chapter 1. Please understand, whatever God has called you to do, be a light on the job. Be a light before the other workers. Minister in a church. It is a supernatural calling. We at Psalm chapter 1. Just going to read the first three verses. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Beloved, here is the conclusion that I've written down in my journal according to what God has been speaking to my heart. As a Christian, I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want the genuine fruit of the Spirit birthed in my life. And as a minister, I want my ministry to be anointed and impacted. And I have resolved in my heart to separate from everything that is dark. That doesn't mean I won't make mistakes and I'll always do it perfectly. But it does mean when God puts His finger on something, I will be quick to repent and I will break from it. The most important thing in my life is to grow in my relationship with Christ and be anointed and impactful in whatever calling God has put upon my life. That is the conclusion in my heart, according to what the Lord's been speaking to me. That's the conclusion I've made by the grace of God. Nothing, nothing is more important to me than being anointed and impactful in the call of God that's on my life. Nothing. That part of that calling is raising my children in the ways of God, my wife, growing in the things of the Lord, and ministering behind this pulpit. Nothing is more important than being anointed and impactful. Nothing. Stand with me this morning.